Hello everyone, this is Colm Kelly. You are listening to the Fantasy Football Beat on RotoViz Radio, brought to you by Draft. My name's Colm Kelly, you can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland. Each week on the Beat Report, I'm joined by an NFL beat reporter to break down one of the biggest games of the week. And on today's show, my guest is going to be Brandon Lee Gotton of BleedingGreenNation.com. We'll be talking about the Eagles' trip to face the LA Rams, and which should be one of the best games this week, in my opinion. And we'll be looking at some of the key players and key matchups that we expect to decide that game. We'll be looking at Zach Ertz, if we expect him to play, the progression through their careers of Carson Wentz, as well as Jared Goff, and of course the coaching staffs, the injury reports, and so much more. And after I talk with Brandon, I'll be taking a few moments to recap what we discussed and use some of the RotoViz apps to dive a little bit deeper into the game from a fantasy football perspective. For those of you who don't know, RotoViz is a sports data and analytics site that publishes over 1,000 articles per year and has a suite of more than 20 proprietary apps. As we move in towards the fantasy playoffs, there is so much fantastic content up there on rotoviz.com, as well as those apps that can help you win those fantasy playoff matchups. And I'll be talking about some of those apps just after I talk with Brandon, but let's get him straight onto the show now. So I'm joined on the show now by Brandon Lee Gotton. He is the manager and editor-in-chief at BleedingGreenNation.com, and one of the guys there that I see on Twitter every so often giving out such insightful information. And I said every so often, there's great information each and every week, but there's some bits that are just real gems in terms of what I can use when I'm looking at fantasy football on a weekly basis. But it's going to be an interesting week this week, obviously, for the Philadelphia Eagles. But first of all, Brandon, thanks for joining us here on the Beat Report.
Well, thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Obviously, this game we're previewing now is the Rams and the Eagles. Both teams having very, very nice seasons. The Rams now 9-3, coming off a 32-16 win against the Arizona Cardinals this last week. And they're obviously hosting the Eagles, who are 10-2. A team who had a 9-game win streak heading into that game on Sunday night against the Seattle Seahawks. But they ran into, you know, the Seahawks are always a formidable opponent, and although with the guys in Vegas in that one, the Seahawks were underdogs, they did have the hot quarterback in that one, 24-10 win for the Seahawks. So there was a couple of key incidents in that game. Obviously, Doug Peterson's decision not to challenge Russell Wilson's kind of lateral or forward pass that, you know, after was kind of clearly a forward pass. Alshon Jeffrey had some struggles. Ertz suffered a concussion in that game. We're looking at this stage like he probably will be back this week. But for you overall with that game, what was the biggest takeaway coming out of that Seahawks loss after, as I mentioned, that 9-game win streak?
Well, if I had to use one word to describe the Eagles' loss to the Seahawks in Seattle, I think it would be uncharacteristic. I think that was not the Eagles' team we've seen for most of this season. I think, as you mentioned, Seattle's a tough place to play. They're now, going into that game, I think they were like 43-8 in their last 51 at home, or they are now, actually. So it's always a tough place to play there. Russell Wilson, really good quarterback, really big mismatch for this Eagles team that likes to get after the quarterback and has been generating the most pressure in the NFL. His mobility kind of limits their pass rush in ways other teams kind of can't negate that. So kind of just not the best matchup for the Eagles, and just not the best game for the Eagles. They didn't play a good, clean game. There are too many penalties, too many key mistakes. I mean, Carson Wentz's fumble into the end zone, that kind of just swung the whole game right there. It would have been a 10-10 tie game. Instead, he fumbles out of the end zone. The Seahawks get the ball back. They go on to score. It's 17-3, and that right there is pretty much your game.
Yeah, and when, obviously we'll be talking about you mentioned some of the key matchups in the last game against the Seahawks being a bad matchup kind of for this Eagles team. We're going to look at the game in a moment from those key perspectives. But first, looking at the injury report, we're recording this one on Friday. The injury reports aren't out yet, so we're heading off those Thursday injury reports. But good news, kind of, you know, if we're looking at the injury report here for the Eagles, Derek Barnett was a full participant in practice the last 2 days, so he should be all ready to go this week. Jason Kelce as well, full participation the last 2 days. Joe Walker, full participation. So nice movement there. And Destiny Vio was full participant after not practicing on Wednesday. Then, of course, the one big concern in this one is Zach Ertz, who suffered a concussion against the Seahawks. But I thought that it was going to be a major struggle for him to clear protocol this week. He didn't practice on Wednesday, but he was a limited participant on Thursday, and will at least see limited to full participation on Friday. I would expect there's going to be limited again, but that all bodes well for his game status come Sunday. Is there any of those guys, obviously outside of Ertz, it really is all systems go for this Eagles team? And what's your thoughts on Ertz and his concussion? You expect him to go this Sunday?
Yeah, I think the Eagles, for the most part, are on, as far as the 53-man roster goes, they should be pretty healthy for this one. I do think Zach Ertz will play. If he was limited on Thursday in practicing, I would imagine he might possibly be full on Friday. We'll have to see, but I would think he'll play this week. He's the team's leading receiver. I think he'll be able to play in this one. And even one thing that Doug Peterson said earlier this week is that if Zach Ertz misses some practice time, it's not a situation where some players miss practice time and then the coaches don't really trust them to play in the game because they haven't been practicing, they haven't been getting the game plan reps during the week. I think Zach Ertz, they kind of trust him and the chemistry that he has with Carson Wentz to kind of figure things out, and they trust his mental ability too, that if he misses some practice time, he can play. So I would expect him to be suiting up for the Eagles on Sunday.
Yeah, and especially if you see a young player or a rookie that's missing those snaps, it can be, you know, make a big difference. But when it's somebody like Ertz and, who has that chemistry there with Wentz, with him practicing as early as he did this week, I would expect him to be a go. As you mentioned, on the other side for the Rams, it's not so bright for them. There's a lot of different injuries. Mark Barron has missed the last two practices, but it's not injury related. Connor Barwin with a forearm injury hasn't practiced this week. We have Alec Ogletree didn't practice this week. LaMarcus Joyner hasn't practiced. They're really, really banged up all over the field. Robert Woods, the wide receiver, had a very nice start to the season. He's missed the last couple of weeks with injury, expected to miss again this week. So there is a hell of a lot of injuries on the Rams team, who are much more banged up than if we look at the Eagles team. So I think on the injury report, anyway, we have to give the first advantage this week to the Eagles. But when we're looking at the key matchups as we go through this, the teams match up very well on paper. The Eagles are averaging 30.1 points per game. They're averaging 385.1 total yards per game. And then the Rams, kind of, they're solid in defense, 18.5 points a game, giving up 334 total yards. But both teams then, when you're looking at it from both sides, very, very balanced defensively. The Eagles are giving up 17.9 points a game, but the yards on both sides, the points on both sides, everything matching up. In fact, both teams averaging 30.1 yards per game, so pretty identical from that perspective. So where do you think, in that stage, is there one key weakness for either team that can be exploited at this point, as we just before we dive a little bit deeper into it?
Yeah, I think there's two keys to for the Eagles in this game. I think the Rams' run defense, you look at all their run defense statistics, they're kind of below average in those categories. And I think their defense as a whole, I mean, they have Wade Phillips. He's arguably one of the best coordinators, defensive coordinators in the NFL still. And their defensive line with Aaron Donald up front, I mean, that's obviously very talented. But their linebackers and their secondary isn't, like, it's not necessarily filled with star players. I think, you know, you can run on this team, as we've seen in the statistics. I think the Eagles should be looking to run the ball here and see if they can get some things going offensively. On the other side of the ball, I think Jared Goff, I saw a stat this week that he spent more time in the pocket than any other quarterback in the NFL this year. So that's going to be a real interesting battle for the Eagles, because I know this Rams offensive line is improved upon what it's been in maybe previous years, but this Eagles defensive line is generating more pressure than any team in the NFL. And I think you look at last week's game for contrast, and again, they couldn't get after Russell Wilson because he's a guy who can escape that pressure. Jared Goff isn't that kind of guy at all. So I think the Eagles are going to be able to get to Jared Goff. The only thing I'd be concerned about is if they go to a quick passing game and try to get the ball out of his hands quickly, they're not going to have that opportunity to get to him. But if he's going to sit back there in the pocket and, you know, take time to throw, then I think the Eagles can really try to get after him and maybe try to get some strip sacks and kind of create a lot of havoc on him.
Yeah, so let's start off with the quarterbacks. Obviously, in 2016, they were number one and number two overall in the NFL draft. Carson Wentz has played on an MVP level for most of the season through those first 11 games. He had a little bit of a down game, we'll say, in Seattle, but he has been very impressive. His year two jump has been so significant, it's kind of easy to lose fact that he's only in his second season in the league. And what do you think have been some of the key changes to him in his second year? He started last year very, very well, but then slowed down as the season went on, had some struggles towards the end. But, you know, you mentioned that the opportunity here to get after Goff and get pressure on him as he stays in the pocket, well, it's not a good idea to try and get after Wentz at the moment. He's been incredible against the blitz this season. He's been blitzed 170 times this season, the most in the NFL, and on those blitzes he's throwing 12 touchdowns, zero interceptions. So, you know, you can blitz him, but you blitz him at your peril. So he's somebody who doesn't really seem to get shook up when the pressure is really coming at him. But what has been the key change, you think, from year one to year two in that development?
I think just playing as a rookie certainly helped. He wasn't even supposed to play last year originally when the Eagles had Sam Bradford, but they traded Bradford. Carson Wentz got 16 games under his belt as a rookie. He had that playing experience to kind of build upon. I think the fact that the Eagles just had nothing, like nothing really that great at the skill positions last year. I mean, you look at these guys, Ryan Matthews, he was their leading rusher last year, or their starting running back, and he's out of the league. And you look at their wide receiving core. I mean, Jordan Matthews was their best receiver. He's not really doing much in Buffalo. He's battled through some injuries. Dorial Green-Beckham was their second-best wide receiver, and they cut him in June, and he hasn't even signed with any team since. So it wasn't just like Carson Wentz was dealing with average weapons last year. They were just not even really NFL players at this point, and that was a big factor in why he wasn't more successful. I think Doug Peterson, in the same turn, was really limited as a play caller, because I think the success we saw early on in 2016 was Doug Peterson being able to scheme some things up with the lack of talent. I think you can kind of do that in a small sample there, but as things start to go on and teams kind of figure out what you're doing, you need talent to win, and the Eagles just didn't have talent. They upgraded some of that, and this offseason they got Alshon Jeffrey. They brought Torrey Smith in. They brought Matt Collins. They drafted him. They obviously added some running backs with Garrett Blunt, and they traded for Jay Ajayi. So there's just more talent in here. They also fortified the offensive line, so that's been helping as well. And then just Carson Wentz working on his craft in the offseason. He went to a throwing coach to kind of work on his mechanics. He spends a lot of time working with his teammates in the offseason, kind of building that chemistry. So I think kind of just the calling card, or at least one of the biggest strengths that was the part of why Carson Wentz was such a high prospect, was he's an incredibly hard worker. And I think he's put that work in. And I think that's what we're seeing in this improvement from year one, year two.
Yeah, and I think what you mentioned there, I was very impressed this offseason, was hearing how he was working, you know, to try and get better. And obviously that there's a key area that is going to help you improve, no doubt about that. A player, as I mentioned, who was a pick, one of those top two picks last year as well, that has had a pretty remarkable season this year. He's leading the NFL with 50 passes of more than 20 yards. And he's a situation in this game. Another key stat that I want to read out is that the Eagles have given up a league low 27 passes of 20 yards or more. So it'll be interesting. There's a lot of little bits where there's clashing going up in this game. I'm very interested to see on Sunday who comes out on top of all these different aspects. But there's three receivers on the Rams and one running back. Obviously, Robert Woods is one of these, and he's expected to miss out this week, that have over 500 receiving yards this season. So they clearly want to spread it around. But what kind of problems do you think that Jared Goff and this Rams offense can cause to this Eagles defense in week 14?
Yeah, well, we're seeing this Rams offense, you kind of mentioned it, they're similar to the Eagles offense in the way that they like to spread the ball around. It's not just all going to one player. With Robert Woods out, you know, that does hurt them a little bit. He's their leading receiver, but they still have a bunch of other guys who can kind of contribute in there. And even looking at the running game, not just, you know, Todd Gurley being able to run the ball really effectively, but he's a big weapon as a pass catcher as well. So the Eagles will have their hands full trying to defend these guys. Again, I think it comes back to being able to kind of generate that pressure against this team. I think the Eagles have the guys who can do that. Again, they lead the NFL in pressure percentage and total pressures, according to Pro Football Focus there. So they have the guys to get it done. They just, against Seattle, what the Eagles usually like to do is shut down the run and then force the opponent to throw. Usually that's a pretty good model for them in terms of getting these wins here throughout the season. That's what they've done. But it was a kind of a unique opponent in the sense that you can shut down the run. Seattle doesn't run the ball well anyway, but Russell Wilson can kind of carry the team beyond that. Not every quarterback can. We'll see if Jared Goff can really step up and make a lot of throws on Sunday. He's probably going to have to, I would expect. You know, I know Todd Gurley is really good, but I think the Eagles' run defense will be able to keep him in check to some extent. So I think that the bulk of the pressure will really be on Goff making plays with his arm, and he's played well this year. So I don't doubt that he's capable of letting his team hang in here, but you know, there could be a play where this pressure is getting to him. He drops back, you know, he fumbles. It's funny to me that Jared Goff has smaller hands for a quarterback. Funny thing to say, but if you look at the metrics, so that's always a concern with him. And I think this Eagles defense, the way they get pressure, it could force him into a bad decision here. And that's something that's been able to really help their secondary this year, because the Eagles don't have the best secondary, but the way they generate pressure kind of takes some pressure in turn off of the back end. So should be an interesting matchup for both of these teams.
Yeah, and then when we move on to the coaches, and both of these guys are legitimate, you know, contenders for Coach of the Year. Doug Peterson didn't have one of his best play-calling games against the Seahawks, but he's had a really nice year. Kenny and Torrin, as I mentioned, in the same situation as with Wentz. But Sean McVay, the youngest head coach in the league, obviously we heard all about that this offseason. He's done a really nice job turning this Rams team around. Maybe it's a case that he's a very good coach. Maybe it's just a case that Jeff Fisher didn't really have much of a scheme going for this team offensively. But Todd Gurley has been rejuvenated. You know, Goff at this time, you know, in the offseason last year, people were kind of had, you know, sold out Goff. He had no future, and he's turned into a really promising passer. The offense is humming. So if you had to choose, and I'm expecting that you're going to go with Doug Peterson, but which of these coaching staffs would you give the edge to in this contest?
Yeah, I think it's a really good question, and I think you can't go wrong almost the way both of these guys have been coaching this year. I think the one thing that I would say about Doug Peterson that can't be said for Sean McVay is that when I think about the Coach of the Year award, I think part of it has to do with defying expectation. I think that's part of what that award is about, or at least that's how you see it handed out. I mean, because usually if we're going to go Coach of the Year, usually it's Bill Belichick.
Yeah,
exactly. So, but in the case of where, you know, you're looking at what was expected, I mean, Doug Peterson, no one believed in that guy. I mean, no one was interviewing him for head coaching jobs. Everyone thought the Eagles made a big mistake by hiring him. Just earlier before this season, I mean, Michael Lombardi, former NFL GM, comes out and literally says that Doug Peterson is one of the 30 or one of the least qualified head coaches he's ever seen in the last 30 years of the league. So, I mean, this guy had a lot of doubters, even in the Eagles fan base as well. People were not super high on him, and a lot of people thought he could get fired this year if the Eagles didn't get off to a good start or they didn't have a good season here. So for me, you know, not to take away from Sean McVay at all, but I think Doug Peterson has defied expectation more. I know Sean McVay is a young coordinator, so he's kind of doing things beyond his years, and that's very impressive. But I also think people kind of knew that Sean McVay was this exciting, hot name coordinator coming out of Washington. So I think it was a little more expected, but again, they've both been really, really good coaches this year. And I think it's going to be a great game on Sunday because of that. I think we're going to see some great game planning, some great creativity in this matchup.
And obviously we talked about Zach Ertz a little earlier in the show, but as I mentioned, expected at this moment in time, and obviously if you're listening to this on Saturday or early Sunday, you'll obviously have a more clear picture, but it is expected at this point that he is going to be able to play on Sunday. So he left the game with just one target in the first half, and he's been on he caught two of his four targets in the second half, but he's had a nice season, a really, really nice season. He's had a couple of games missed through injury, but when you have him and Jeffrey and what Nelson Aguilar is doing, if he was to miss out was the question I sent you over earlier in the week, but obviously now we expect him to play. How big of an impact can he have in this game if he does play? And obviously Trey Burton, somebody that a lot of people have been talking up as somebody who can come in and replace Ertz quite comfortably, but Ertz is just a step above that. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Yeah, I don't think the Rams have necessarily been bad at defending tight ends this year, but Zach Ertz is the Eagles' leading receiver for a reason. He's a really just reliable target for Carson Wentz, especially in the middle of the field, also been effective in the red zone. So it's just another way the Eagles can move the chains. That's something they like to do, and I think this will be a week where the Eagles kind of, you know, if the big play is there, I'm sure they'd love to take it. But I think the strategy in this one could be kind of controlling the clock. Last year, when the Eagles played the Atlanta Falcons in Philadelphia, you know, they knew they were going up against a really good offense, the best offense in the league. And what they tried to do was run the ball and kind of get the short to intermediate passing game going, kind of work the clock, go down the field in long drives and kind of just hold the ball and keep it away from the other team. I think we might be able to see the same thing this week in Los Angeles, where the Eagles are kind of trying to look to control the clock, keep the ball, not let that Rams offense get a ton of possessions and be on the field for a long time and try to limit their ability to put up points. So I think Zach Ertz helps with that, because you can kind of get the short passing game going with him, kind of keep moving the chains with him on the inside, kind of just takes the pressure off too from having to rely on the wide receivers the whole game. I mean, Torrey Smith hasn't really been playing all that great for the past couple of weeks here, and Alshon Jeffrey has come on, but we still need to see more out of him too. So I just think Carson Wentz really likes to work that middle of the field area, so having Ertz helps a ton with that.
Yeah, and you mentioned Jeffrey as well. Obviously, he signed a five-year contract last week. And when we look at, you mentioned there, you know, trying to move the chains. Another area where you're trying to move the chains, obviously, is in the red zone. And the Rams this season have given up a touchdown at 59.4% of red zone trips, which is 24th in the NFL. And that's an area where the Eagles have been excellent this season, leading the NFL by scoring touchdowns on more than 68% of their opportunities inside the opponent's 20-yard line. So obviously for both rosters, that's going to be a key emphasis this week. But kind of like you mentioned, trying to move the chains and having Zach Ertz in the lineup, having Alshon Jeffrey, when you get into that red zone, you have those big, big targets and a similar out the field when you're trying to get that 3 or 4 yard completion to move the chains. Those big bodies, get them on the inside, and it's very, very, very hard to stop that, especially when Carson Wentz is playing so well. One player I want to get your opinion on here as we get towards the end of the segment, and that is Nelson Agholor. He was a player, like I mentioned with Jared Goff, he was just completely cast aside this last offseason. Nobody had any faith in any hope of a redemption from Nelson Agholor, and it's amazing how far he's come. He's having a really good year, and against the Seahawks last week, he was kind of maybe the one bright spot, we'll say, on that one. He had a career high 7 catches for 141 yards and a touchdown against the Seahawks secondary. So with how he's produced so far, and he could have probably had more than he got, he was open on a number of different occasions, but how impressed have you been with him this year? And everything just seems to have clicked into place for him. Is there any reason you can just narrow that down to why Aguilar has really stepped out of his shadow? People thought when he came into the league as a rookie there was all this potential there, but it looked like it just was never going to come to fruition until this season.
Yeah, I think you look at Nelson Aguilar's first 2 years, and I don't think it's too hyperbolic to say he was literally one of the worst wide receivers in the NFL. he was that bad.
So.
I'm not trying to be mean to him. I just think he was that bad. You even look at metrics in terms of the Football Outsiders and things like that, and he was always one of the worst, if not the absolute worst wide receiver. And I think he just, the struggles he went through in his first 2 years were so bad. And I think especially in 2016 when he, funny enough, he had his worst game against the Seahawks, now coming back this year having a much better game. But last year, it was just a really low point for him. And I think hitting that low point was the best thing for him in the end, because he went through a stage where he realized that what he was doing was not good enough and he needed to make some major changes to his game. And I think the Eagles also putting him in the slot has helped a ton. I just don't think he's an outside wide receiver. He doesn't have that, either the strength or physicality or that raw speed to kind of get things done on the outside. He's more shifty, so I think playing him in the slot has really helped out with that. It's just been a really impressive, legitimate season for him that really started back in spring practices. I remember watching him in practice, and he was looking great pretty much almost every day for the most part, definitely looking like a different player than I had ever seen. People had always said, oh, well, he always looks good in practice, back when I was saying that in the spring, but that wasn't the case. I mean, he was dropping passes last year. He just wasn't really standing out as much as you would hoped. So I think the progress Nelson Agholor has made is real. I think he's overcome his demons mentally. He's been able to get over those struggles. He's been able to really just work hard and work himself into a really good slot receiver for this team.
Yeah, and you mentioned some of the players when we talked about Wentz and how he struggled at times last year not having receivers, and Dorial Green-Beckham was there. Well, he was actually, Aguilar was losing out in snaps to Dorial Green-Beckham last year, so it just shows how far he has turned it around. So when we're looking at this game, is there any other maybe keys that we might have missed out on there, or do you think we have pretty much covered the majority of the things that will help decide this game come Sunday?
Yeah, again, to me, it just comes down to, kind of to repeat what I said earlier, just getting after Jared Goff for the Eagles. That's what they do best and what they weren't able to do against Russell Wilson. And then on the other side of the ball, I mean, get the run game more involved. Carson Wentz didn't have his best game against Seattle. I'm not saying that means the Eagles need to suddenly not trust him at all, but it would be nice maybe if they could get him a little help early on in this game and kind of, like I was saying before, kind of control the clock too. I mean, you have Jay Ajayi here. Get him more involved. I mean, this Rams run defense, again, statistically is not the best, so I would test that out early on.
Yeah, I feel like that the running game element is going to be a real key. And this game for me, I've previewed games every week of the season so far. This game seems to have just so many areas where one team's very good at something, one team's a little bit weaker, but there is those weaknesses and strengths on both sides, and it matches up really well, so it should be a very interesting game. So as we wrap up now, I get your prediction. I'm going to ask you how you think this one's going to go. It has the potential to be a shootout. You mentioned the Eagles possibly trying to slow the game down, and maybe that'll keep the score down if it stays that way. How do you see it going? Do you think this one could end up being a high-scoring one, or do you think the Eagles can dominate that time of possession and maybe keep it a little bit lower scoring than people are expecting?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a tough game for both sides. I do think the Eagles match up well against the Rams overall. Again, that's no disrespect to the Rams. I think they're very good, but I think coming off this loss to the Seahawks, some people nationally, at least, are kind of down on the Eagles all of a sudden, or like, and they're not as high on them as they used to be, and I think maybe a little too down on them. And I think going into this game, it's not going to be a situation where it's Seattle. I mean, there could be very well be a lot of Eagles fans at this LA game. We saw how Eagles fans took over the stadium when the Eagles played the Chargers earlier this season. So the Eagles crowd factor, that shouldn't be as much of a disadvantage for them. And I think matchup wise on the field, I just think the Eagles match up well overall against this Rams team. I mean, I think the Rams are going to have some success. I think it'll be a close game, but I think the Eagles do win this one, especially coming off of that loss. I think they're desperate to get back for a win. So I think the Eagles will win this game by a score of something around 28-24.
I'm really looking forward to watching this game on Sunday. I think it could be one of the better games of the week. And with that, it takes us to the end of the segment. I just want to thank you, Brendan, for coming on to talk to us. You can follow him on Twitter at Brandon Gotton. That is GOWTON. And of course, check out all the great work up on bleedinggreennation.com. It's been a great time, Brendan.
Thanks for having me.
Once again, thanks to Brandon for jumping aboard the show. Lots of great information there from him, and I always appreciate the guest time as they come on to help me break down the game. And one of my favourite parts of this show is the talk with the beat reporter, because we get to talk it from a purely football perspective. Then we move into this segment, we start to look at it from a fantasy football perspective. So you need to get both of those, marry that information together, and see what we can do to make the outcome of it to the best of our ability. So before I get into breaking it down, what I think using those apps on rotowiz.com, I want to tell you that there's still time for you to get that 30% discount off a Rotowiz NFL pass. And whether it's just coming up this weekend, you're in the fantasy playoffs and you need to get through that first round, get yourself through that second round of the playoffs as you advance to try and win that championship, Rotowiz NFL pass is what you need to help gain that little bit of an advantage. And you can do that for a little bit less this week. It is 30% off. It is for the listeners of the podcast only, and it is available through the NFL podcast homepage. That is rotowiz.com/podcast. Your subscription gives you unlimited access to all of our NFL content and tools, and best of all, it supports the pod. So be sure and get that 30% discount now as we get into the playoff season, and make sure you win that championship. If you get that 30% discount off and you win your championship, you'll have all the bragging rights. You'll everything set to go, and you can come back and thank us when you pick up the winnings from your league. So it's always fun to have those bragging rights over your league mates. So let's start looking into it using some of the apps up on rotoviz.com to break down the players that we want to be starting in this contest. And looking first at the quarterbacks, and we're looking at Carson Wentz. And last week was the first time Wentz finished outside of the top 10 quarterbacks since week 4, so he's had a nice run. He did finish quarterback 11, so he wasn't that far off, but he did have 348 yards and one touchdown. So it wasn't a great game, but it didn't cost you your fantasy game, probably, if you're looking at it from that aspect. It wasn't, you know, that he finished as quarterback 25 overall. And the problem coming up this week for him is it's a game where the Rams have allowed just two top 12 performances to quarterbacks all season, and none of those coming since week 4, because the Rams have tended to try and control the ball, control the clock, and we see them having, you know, a high-powered offense and moving the ball very quickly, but that doesn't tend to be the way they actually play the game. It tends to be a little bit more controlled, a lot of Todd Gurley involved in there, so it's going to be a tough matchup for Wentz. And Brandon mentioned the Eagles trying to, you know, keep it very, very close, and I think this game, as we kind of project it to be a high-scoring game, it could turn out to be a very, very cagey and low-scoring affair. So it's going to be a fascinating game from a technical point of view to watch, and that's why we have to try and figure it out ahead of time. I think he should be considered as a quarterback one, so a top 12 finish for him this week, but it could be the lower end of that top 12 again. I kind of think he'll finish in the range kind of between 9 and 12, so we'll see how he does. But If I have him, I am playing him, but it's a tough matchup for him, a lot tougher than maybe some people are expecting. And when you look at the range of outcomes up here on the Gillespie app or the GLSP app on rotoviz.com, he kind of has a safe floor, and his median and his high doesn't get all that higher. So his floor is coming up in a 4-point pass and touchdown league, 15.1, his medium 18.9, and his high is 21.1. So very, very kind of steady floor. He's going to get you those 15 points, and you know, if he has a nice game, he's going to get you 21. So not a huge differentiation there, but I think it is a very, very safe play this week. And obviously when we get to the fantasy playoffs, this, I don't think he's a player that you want to be playing, you know, in GPPs this week, but if you're playing in cash games, you're looking for a safe quarterback option, you're playing in your season-long leagues, I think Wentz is a solid starting option. And I do think as well that when you look at Goff, I think he is a solid starting option as well, but more so for him, we mentioned that if he gets pressure up the middle, he could be in a little bit of trouble. And I think that for Goff, maybe a little bit of recency bias is coming in, because this season he's been QB10 or better just twice all season, and they came in week 9 and 10. So, you know, if you're looking at how the game's going, how the Eagles have improved, they've, in the last five games, they've held four quarterbacks to less than 11 points. So last week was the only game in which, obviously, Russell Wilson had a big game, and he was the only quarterback out to the last five games to go over 11 fantasy points. So very, very concerning. And with Robert Woods missing out again, I just would be more likely to try and have a different option this week if I can, instead of Jared Goff. And I think Robert Woods being out of the lineup really hurts him. Obviously, they'll have the home field advantage this week, but if I'm looking at one quarterback out of these two to start, I'm starting the guy on the road, and that is Carson Wentz. Moving on to the running backs, and you're looking at, you know, LeGarrette Blount, JJ, Corey Clement. It's one week, it's the next week. It's just so hard to trust these running backs on a week-to-week basis. They're all getting production. I've mentioned on a few podcasts, I think the way both these teams are set up is exactly how you want an NFL team to be set up, but it's not great for our fantasy football teams. But I've said it as well, the NFL teams, they do not care about our fantasy football league. So when we're looking through it, we have to try and figure out who we can use and who we can't use. And with this, it's kind of just Russian roulette. Pick one, might work for you. Pick the other one, mightn't work. So I'm not starting any of these options. If I was picking one, I'd be more likely to go with JJ. But we've seen Corey Clement have some big plays in different weeks. But I'm looking to move and have JJ out of those trio if I have to start one. Todd Gurley is obviously somebody that you have to go ahead and start at this stage of the season. He's got you to this point. He had a tough battle with the Cardinals this past week, but he gets one of the tougher opponents to date this week, and the Eagles, one of the best run defenses in the league. They've allowed just 540 rushing yards on the entire season. Compare that to any other team in the NFL, and the next lowest is 822. So, you know, you're looking at almost a 300-yard gap between them and the rest. So they're a very, very, very good run stuffing unit. So Gurley hasn't topped 77 yards since week 7. So it's just a nice matchup, but Gurley, he's going to get those PPR opportunities, and you know, he's going to get those receptions. So if I'm looking at a player from this Rams offense to start picking through the lineup, who I really want to have in it, if I have the option, I'd be going with Todd Gurley. If I can have him in my lineups, he'll be in some of my GPP lineups this week. I think with it being such a tough matchup, he will be faded, and looking at it, I just think that if anyone has the talent to unlock this defense, it's going to be Gurley. But it's just one of those ones, you put him in your lineup, you know the possibility is there for it to all go wrong for you. But again, in season long, you know, he's got you to the dance, so you have to get the right. It's unlikely that you have a better option to slot into your lineups than him. Looking at the wide receivers then, we bounce through them. Looking at Jeffrey, we're looking at Aguilar, we have Sammy Watkins on the Rams side, Cooper Kupp as well. I think they're the ones that you're really looking. Josh Reynolds, if you're looking for a flyer, you're looking in a deeper league that you need somebody to stream this week, pick up off the waiver wires, is an option. But you're going to say, Alshon Jeffrey last week had a game where he struggled, and I'm somebody who likes Alshon Jeffrey. He's had a couple of nice games back-to-back-to-back before that, so I'm expecting him to have an opportunity to bounce back in this one. He's only been held under 6 targets one time this season since he went over to the Eagles, so he's kind of guaranteed that 6 to 9 target range, and you know, I think that's pretty safe. He's going up against Tremaine Johnson, so that could make it a little bit tougher. He is one of the better cornerbacks in the NFL, especially when going up against bigger wide receivers. Some of the cornerbacks, they do tend to struggle, obviously, when they lose that height advantage, but Johnson is pretty physical, and I think he'll be able to do quite a nice job this week. But I think looking at it, I think Jeffrey remains in that kind of wide receiver two or just low end wide receiver one category. But it's funny because I think a lot of people are talking about this match as a bonanza of sorts, you know, a shootout. I just don't think it's going to turn out to be that way. It's a game that I'll be, in fantasy terms, probably fading a lot of these players. Nelson Agholor, big match last week, had a nice game, and he'll be matching up with Robbie Coleman, who's struggled quite a bit this season, particularly to good slot receivers. Larry Fitzgerald has burned him this year, so has Adam Thielen. And guys as well, like Bruce Ellington and Travaris King, have had some big, big plays against them. So I think there's an opportunity here for Agholor to continue his run that he started last week. And I think if I had to look at the values, you know, particularly in tournaments this week, I'd be going for Agholor over Jeffrey based on the matchups. And I think it's something that people need to pay a lot more attention to. It's rather than just going for the stud name, is trying to look at the matchups. And there's a lot of people out there now doing very good matchup work and cornerback ratings and rankings. So that is something definitely to keep an eye on, you know, more and more as we progress through these NFL seasons, as data becomes more and more relevant to exactly what we want to pinpoint from these key areas. Sammy Watkins has obviously had a much bigger role over the last couple of weeks while he has been in the absence of Robert Woods. He has a touchdown in four of his last five games, and he had only two in the first seven, so that's six touchdowns in the year for him. Targets are a little bit concerning. You know, he's only getting in that 4 to 5 range, and that's something that is very, very hard to rely on. But again, this Eagles defense is going to be tough against the run. It's going to be hard to get that going. So I think Watkins should get an upgrade in targets this week. Cooper Kupp the same. His targets have jumped, obviously, with Woods out, and he's a reliable PPR option this week. He's caught at least 5 targets in each of his last 4 games. And we had a stat a couple of weeks ago where Adam Thielen was on a roll with catching 5 targets in consecutive games. So maybe Kupp's following suit there. So he has failed to score since week 7. And I mentioned it on a couple of shows recently. Kupp's one of those players. He's going to get you that reliable PPR points. But if he gets in the end zone, he's really going to up his value and be worth more than you're paying for him, particularly in DFS. Just jumping back into looking at some of the air yards of these players, and you know, I'm going to talk now about Zach Ertz, and Ertz obviously the concussion. I wasn't expecting him to play this week, but it looks now at this point in time like there is a good possibility he will play. So if he doesn't play, obviously take this advice and change it around. You know, there's always that caveat to add in there, but the Rams have allowed the 6th fewest points to tight ends this year, but you know, they've struggled when they go up against the kind of elite tier tight ends or the tight ends who have been performing on a solid basis this year. They've struggled with Graham, they've struggled with Rudolph, they've struggled with Jordan Reed back when he was healthy, and Evan Ingram as well. So I think if you see Ertz coming in here, and he's probably safe for 5 to 7 targets this week, I think if he plays, he will be a tight end one. And looking through his projections on the GLSP, he does have a kind of a medium to low floor when you look at it in PPR, that floor being 9.1, but a big, big jump up then, and of course that big jump comes with touchdown upside. The median then 17.3, the high is 25.7, so he could be one of the highest scoring tight ends, or the highest scoring tight end of the week, if that all comes to fruition for him. And when we're looking through then, up here on rotoviz.com, looking at the air yards and looking then at the target share in there, pretty much if you add up each week the target share of Alshon Jeffrey and the target share off Zach Ertz, there's not a lot left to go around. There's a little bit there for Agholor and pretty much nothing else for anyone else. Looking through them, they're all pretty balanced around between 20 and 30% on a weekly basis. We have some games here in week 3, for example, Ertz up to 32% target share, and in week 12 against Chicago, he finished with 31% as well. So in around the 20% the rest of the way, but a couple of games there with 30% target share. And then when you're looking at Jeffrey, who is having, I think, overall a very solid season, has been rewarded that contract, didn't have a good game last week, but since week 6, his lowest target share percentage has been 24, and he's had a 39% target share and a 33% target share sprinkled in there as well. So both those guys are going to get to see a healthy dose of targets, but I mentioned this week is a tougher matchup for Jeffrey. So I think Zach Ertz is the one that you want to be on board with in this contest. I think, you know, I think he mightn't be as much owned as people expect because the concussion doubt coming into it. But if he does clear the concussion protocol, I'd have no concerns then playing him in this game. And that there is why, of course, he is going to be my draft play of the week this week. And if you haven't played draft yet, maybe you're out of your fantasy championship. Maybe that isn't going as well as you wanted. Sorry to bring the downer to the end of the show, but maybe you're going very well and you just want to have a little bit more fun and playing on draft. But you can download the app for draft, and all you have to do is go to the app store and whichever phone you use, whether it's Android or Apple, whatever type you use, and then just search draft, D-R-A-F-T. and they'll find the game in minutes. So you can play right from your computer on playdraft.com, whichever way you prefer. For a limited time only, all new players get a free entry into a draft when you make your first deposit by using the code RVRadio. That's right, play a real money game for free just by using our promo code RVRadio on your first deposit. And if you haven't already heard, draft, no salary caps, play in a real-life snake draft, just like you do with your friends in a season-long league. It just takes a couple of minutes to draft. It lasts for 1 week. There is no management after you draft. It's a best ball format. Draft will set that lineup for you. So it's very, very simple. There's drafts from just $1, so there's a draft for everyone. Get involved this weekend. Have some fun. And of course, that code again is RVRadio on your first deposit. So with that, that's going to do it for this edition. It is the week 14 edition of the RotoViz Fantasy Football Beat on RotoViz Radio, brought to you by Draft. My name's Colm Kelly. Follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland. Until I'm back with the Week 15 edition, have a good one. Thank you for listening to the Fantasy Football Beat on RotoViz Radio. Please rate and review the RotoViz Radio podcast on iTunes or your favourite podcast app. Contact us via email at rotovizradio@gmail.com, and you can follow us on Twitter at RotoViz Radio. And remember, you can always support the pod by subscribing to RotoViz at a 30% discount to the RotoViz Radio homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.